This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 562. I am Brian Kilby, and with me, we have Chris, who is looking off screen, doing something.
I'm getting things ready for, did anybody get anything?
Oh, excellent. We have Don, who was laughing his butt off a minute ago at something I did not get.
That's why you need to be here for pre-show.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is nice for a change of pace. Me doing something that Brian doesn't get. So.
You really should be here for pre-show, because Don was also hung up upon abruptly for saying disparaging remarks about the Princess Bride.
Yes.
No, I wasn't saying disparaging. I was just
saying. You were. You're making falsehoods. That was Matt. Hi. And Diecast, how's it going?
Excellent.
And of course, if you're watching video, you do not see Rob Clay, but you hear him. Rob, how are you today?
Not bad.
Rob is our very own personal shadow. He knows
the everything. Rob knows.
Yeah, the Rob knows. So you just can't see him all that well, but you always hear him.
So hey, this past weekend, some of us were going to go to Jolanda. That fell through. Apparently, they had a blast there. We were going to have the panel that Rob Springer and Dusty Griffin did, but unfortunately, they didn't get their recorder in time in the mail. Boo. So it is lost to the ages. I'm certain it was great, though. But hey, Chris, Don, Diecast, Matt, and I all hung out here in my house, which was weird.
That's very, certainly very strange. Yeah, strange, weird. Those are certainly words for the experience of this past weekend.
Yeah.
But it was nice to pet kitty cats that did not attack me and, in fact, wanted petting and loving.
Yeah, my cats
actually, Brian's cats are extremely needy, almost to the point of being annoying.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually.
Friendly.
Not Mackenzie. Friendly. The one almost, just runs away.
I mean, it's almost like they were dogs.
Finn and Buddy are very dog-like, yes.
Yeah, two of them.
Mackenzie is very much a cat.
But she was cool for the, 5 minutes I saw her.
Yeah. Hey, so we got to hang out. We recorded some stuff. Matt transformed my mistransformed toys.
Oh, yes. I also got the chance to mess around with Bad Cube Sun Surge. And I can only say that I am so grateful that I waited for the Takara version.
It is left. It's 95% transformed over there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you never did get that transformed.
It's close enough. No. I'm fine. It's not going to get thrown away.
It's a car with a robot chest and arms sticking out from the bottom.
You're exactly right. I may sell it that way. Partially transformed Sun Surge.
That's how I sold Alternator's Grimlock.
Yeah.
Well, that was Grimlock. Yeah. You know, only a hammer would solve that problem.
I think the same applies to Sun Surge.
You know, I don't think I had a problem with Alternator's Grimlock. Was it the hood?
He obviously never handled it.
Yeah, I've got it. I've transformed it.
I have mine laying over there, half transformed.
Just like my leader class Sentinel Prime, I can never get the thing in truck.
I get it. I got it transformed at least once then, because mine is fully transformed.
Yeah, I got it transformed once, and then I tried to do it a second time and decided it wasn't worth the effort and sold it.
I find that very hard to believe that Brian got his transformed with the amount of Mistransformers we found at his house.
Okay,
I fixed three or four of those for him, though.
Three or four out of how many? There's a lot here.
I stopped counting. It was getting depressing.
Yeah, we couldn't really get an accurate count because you have them all displayed so tightly and, you know, impossible to see all of them.
Yeah.
And incorrectly, I fixed some of that for him as well.
I just got out of the way and dozed in a corner.
You did. You did.
I was so tired.
You did put my masterpiece Laserbeak on top of the Guardian of Forever.
That wasn't me.
Wasn't it? Okay.
That wasn't.
I put your Cyclone of Scourge and Unicron on the same shelf.
You did.
Next to Unicron. So yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I like that better.
Of course, because it's right now.
But it was a lot of fun hanging out.
Did you ever dig out your Creo Seacons?
No.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, that's next. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. We ate a lot of food. We drank a lot of cheer wine, and I'm finishing off the last bottle right now. And Don left his 2-liter bottle of diet chair wine. Don, I'm going to PayPal you $1.50 to pay for that, so you're reimbursed.
No, go and keep it and enjoy it.
Don, it's not possible to enjoy that.
It's cheer wine. It's still cheer wine.
I like diet cheer wine.
Oh, you too.
I do. Mm-hmm. So I think the funniest thing that happened was Diecast trying to climb the rock wall.
I wish we had the Nerf guns.
I have a mark on my knuckle to prove I did it.
If we ever try it, I've got video and pictures to prove that you did it.
He did almost as well as the 6-year-old that was with us.
Well, keep in mind, yeah. Noah weighs a lot less.
I mean, yes, but at the same time, he still outperformed Diecast.
But I went to the hard part first. And
you failed miserably. And then you went to the second, then you went to the next least hard part and failed that one too.
The best.
Then finally, you had to go to the easiest one. And then you actually were able to get up the wall.
The best part, though, was when Diecast fell off the wall and hit the ground and Noah tried to help him up.
That was funny. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, that was a blast. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. It was a good time. And Diecast, when you come back, if you do the rock wall again, I will make sure to bring a water gun or something.
And I'm going to do the easy one first this time. That way I can just show I can get to the top of that at least.
Yeah. And
try to stay in shape for the next year.
And we were going to get a retro reboot, which we talked about on the show before, but unfortunately it has closed.
I felt bad about that.
Which we were not. But we did go to Rebel Base, where both Chris and Matt found something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rebel Base is a toy and comic shop in Charlotte that I have never been to.
It's actually pretty cool. Like, there's a ton of stuff in there. So much so it's actually hard to see it all. Much like your collection room, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Chris and I, we almost would have come to blows if what we were looking for had been there. But it would have been
I told Don I would break his arm if there was a Defiant there.
Okay.
Yeah, we both need a Playmates Defiant for our Starship collection.
God, I would love to have a. I need that now too.
Don't look on eBay; they're
hundreds of dollars, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
At least a couple hundred usually. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've looked for it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Okay.
You guys try to get the Eagle Moss one. It's nowhere near as big, but it's also nice and expensive.
But yeah, so we had a lot of fun. Any other thoughts before we get to? Did anybody get anything? Okay. Did anybody get anything? Chris, you go first because you were digging through your stuff.
So we had talked on Sunday, I think, about maybe going to Time Tunnel in Hickory.
Yeah.
So I actually did that on the way back. And while I don't think it would have been worth a group trip over there, I did manage to find two Star Trek figures. So I got the... Trials and Tribulations Sisko in the Ooh. TOS uniform.
Oh, nice.
Oh, if I had been there, I'd have snatched it out of your hands again.
$5.
Nice.
The most inexplicable variant figure, too. It's Thomas Riker in a yellow Deep Space Nine uniform.
That is weird.
Far as I know, never appeared on screen at any point. So I don't know why. I don't know why.
I just don't know why.
No. But that was pretty much all of value there was to get at Time Tunnel. So, but for $5 each, they were very well priced. Also at Rebel Base, I picked up a Tasha Yar for $3, which also is about right for pricing.
Did you when you went by the? Oh, actually, so real quick, one thing we failed to mention: we talked about it on RSE Extra 41, which is posted in the feed at tfradio.net. You need to go listen. But we talked about our last ever group visit to Toys R Us. Did you go by the Toys R Us in Hickory?
Yeah, it's tiny.
That's like my default Toys R Us that I've always gone to.
It's terrible.
Yeah, which helps shape my opinion of Toys R Us. That's the Toys R Us that Don says that his Toys R Us is the smallest in the chain. I've been to both, and they look the same to me.
Yeah, I was thinking when I was walking around there, Don's can't be much different from this one. Because this was the smallest Toys R Us I can ever recall being in.
But yeah, so, you didn't find anything there. Okay.
I didn't find... Yep. So today I did the rounds around here for the remaining Toys R Us locations before they're gone. And also didn't find anything, but that's not really the point. I also got this Ninja Turtles movie Mega Block set at one of the Rosses we visited. And then an actual Transformers stuff. Let's see... Because I just have to kill me off by going through all of the off-topic stuff first.
Yeah.
So on my way to North Carolina, I stopped at a couple Walmarts and got some clearance movie toys. So I got a Steel Bane for $7, which at that price, I'm willing to take the chance on bad ball joints. Voyager Megatron I got for $13, which seems about right. It's the only Voyager Megatron I've seen on markdown at any Walmart.
That toy is worth, that's the, probably the only movie toy that's worth full retail. $13.
That would be Nitro, which this is not a full price Nitro. I got this one for $13 also for potentially customizing into a Thunderwing at some future point.
Oh, nice.
I bought one too for that. I'm gonna buy the repo labels here in the next few days.
And then at a Kroger on the far side of Nashville, I got the Wave 2 Prime Masters.
Nice.
Which I actually have not had time to open.
I can't believe Kroger has toys. It's like
they're part of the Easter the Easter basket stuffers.
Yeah, which so, that's a good item for that.
And the colors are dead on for that too.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. So there's $7 each at Kroger.
About a buck more than regular retail, but that's not bad.
Yes, it's really not for bad for grocery
store. Yeah.
And I think that's all I've got.
I didn't know this
point at all the places I went today and wasn't able to find anything to get.
I didn't know until recently that Kroger owns, is it what, Fred Meyer or Meyer?
Fred Meyer, I think.
Yeah. I guess Midwest and sort of North Central.
No, that's Meyer.
Meyer. Okay, that's what I'm. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Meyer.
But that's not what Kroger owns, as far as I know. They own a chain called Fred Meyer, which is off to the west.
Okay, I just saw it in the news recently when it came to like the gun regulation stuff. It said that Kroger was going to stop selling or carrying guns, and I'm like, Kroger sells guns. And the story said, I thought they said they own Meyer, which would sell guns. So that's why I thought if Kroger owned Meijer, would it make sense why they have that stuff in their distribution channel? Because they already sell toys and they can share resources.
There's a few other brand names I know Kroger is connected with, but Meijer, the Midwest chain, is not one of them as far as I'm aware.
Okay. Well, now the mystery as to why Kroger sells guns just keeps on going. And John joined us sort of midstream there. Hey, John, how's it going?
Hey, John.
He didn't cross it, did he?
No, he didn't cross it.
Now he's lost.
Now he's lost. Maybe he's playing Street Fighter, or maybe he's not.
No, I wasn't playing Street Fighter. I was doing your Kroger research. Thank you very much.
So what did you find out?
Let's see here. They own Fred Meyer Jewelers. That's interesting. Let's see here. Their wiki is like a mile long. They own lots of things. Yeah. They own a chain called Crambo.
They own a chain called Loaf and Jug.
Like, oh man. I'm living in the wrong part of America.
Yeah, I know. That sounds great. Cool. Chris, anything else toy wise?
No.
Don.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. Like Chris, I picked up some of the discounted movie toys. I've got Drift, Steel Bane, and I've got a Crowbar. Well, whichever one was the first one, Crowbar, Demolished, whatever the first one was. And today, well, last week while I was down in visiting Brian and everybody, my Wave 2 Voyagers came. I went ahead and bit the bullet and found a good deal. Got a Lita 1 and Hunger on that. And today, the rest of Wave 2 arrived. I got my 5 Deluxes. Snarl, Sludge, Moonracer, Blackwing, and
Ripper Snapper.
So as soon as Wave 3 goes up, I will pre-order Wave 3, and that will be pretty much every Power of the Primes. But I got them. I also picked up the 3 Legends about 2 weeks before when I couldn't be on that first time. Tailgate, and then the 2 Duocons.
Cool. Diecast.
Oh, I got...
Get comfortable, folks.
I got...
Oh, God, he showed off that picture of his mail. I forgot about that.
Barricade. And the only... I haven't opened the box yet, so hopefully it has all its wheels. But the only indication that it's possibly like a midnight special is there's a place on the box that says Ford sticker to go here, but there's no sticker. So,
that's a pretty good indication.
Yeah, it's probably from the same warehouse that makes these, because they don't have knockoff boxes yet. But it does have the printed officially licensed by Ford on the back piece.
But how much was that? Weird.
It was like 40, 45, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I assume the sticker is a localization thing so that they can have the licensing info specific to the country it'll be distributed in.
Maybe.
You know, so, I mean, that's probably the only reason it's not on that packaging. However, I am disappointed that that did not come in a Ziploc.
Yeah, I was originally thinking it was going to come in a Ziploc because I saw bulk and I was like, oh, no.
But we're skull.
Yeah, so hopefully everything's in here. I also got the last two of the Iron Factory Bruticus figures. So
I need to buy those.
You didn't get those yet?
No.
Oh, wow. So I can finally make Bruticus, which is all I wanted to do with it. So
that's good.
And then I also got the Optimus Prime with the improper forearms.
Alien Attack.
Just to be clear, yeah, the Alien Attack one. And again, haven't got a chance to open it. Wait, I haven't even had a chance to unpack my suitcase.
So yet. Is that a knockoff or a third-party toy?
Third party.
It's a third party. I'm curious to see what that is actually like when you get a chance to transform it.
Yeah. So, and then I did get one other thing. Brian's going to have to help me out and show it off.
What'd you get? What'd you get?
I got a record, a vinyl record from 80s classic Transformers.
Oh, yeah. That's a review copy. So
it's a review copy.
Diecast got our review copy. How's that review going?
How's that review going? It's ready. It's done.
How does it sound?
I didn't have a record player to play.
So I bought my copy because Diecast got the review copy. Let's actually listen to it for a second because it sounds weird. The mix on it is a little bit off and you'll hear what I'm talking about. Like,
it sounds weird, but it's going to look great on my wall.
It is going to look great on the wall. So
which is what a record is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Listen to this. There's some voices in there that you don't hear. Yeah.
Is this the British version?
So that's the thing that got me. So I think Ant brought this to our attention on Facebook or on Twitter that the it sounds like it's a different mix of the album. Somebody suggested on my Facebook that it was the fact that it's a higher fidelity version. I mean, I can.
No, they don't have the filtering on the voices, right?
Well, yeah, they don't have the filtering on the voices, but I could totally buy something being a higher fidelity version and then like a higher pitch voice coming through where it didn't before. But it's not the case because it's clearly obvious when you hear that robots, in, like the iconic robots in disguise part, that is just completely wrong.
Yeah, I'm inclined to believe that it's either an early mix or even possibly a different take, given how much of the, you know, how many of the Sunbow tapes have been lying around for all this time. I would not be surprised if they took the wrong take off of the master for this record.
Yeah.
I really wish they'd just release everything they have digitally so we could listen to all of it.
Yeah. But you know what? It's a pretty record. I really actually like the folder. God, it sold quick. Don said, hey, if you get a chance to order me one. I'm like, Don, it's not going to sell out. Sold out in like 10 minutes.
I figured it would.
Yeah.
The second pressing is coming this summer, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's, 500 copies each of the Autobot and Decepticon, and I ended up getting the Think Geek version of the Bumblebee one. I mean,
I think is the prettiest. I like the Bumblebee one the best. I actually got the Megatron version.
Yeah. Is it like I ended up having to pay $30 or something for it? Is it worth that? No, not even close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I wanted
it. Is.
No, it's not.
It looks beautiful. You're going to hang it on the wall and it'll look great.
Just the cover is going to be showing on mine. I don't show the record too. I think it's dumb.
That record's pretty though.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Mutagen 28 said in the chat, ugh, it sounds too clear.
The thing is, that doesn't bother me because we've had digital mixes of this before on like DVD and stuff. But it's been the mix that aired on TV, and it was just, from my understanding, just a digitization and like a remastering of what was like already on the tape. It sounds like they went to the original tracks amazingly, and had, you know, they still had them, and mixed it, remixed it that way. It just doesn't sound right.
I would love for somebody to, and I'm sure somebody will do this on YouTube eventually, just overlay the version from the DVDs with this, just so you can kind of hear the differences, like, you know, simultaneously.
Yeah. Oh,
because I'm almost certain, like I said, I'm starting to think it's even a different take. There may be more different
than very possible
the mix.
As soon as Brian played that, I was like, who's that girl singing along with the record? Like, that's what, that her voice stood out so much.
Yeah, it's there, like, in the, it's there in the broadcast version, but it's filtered a lot more strongly, so it doesn't stand out like that.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to listen to much else on it, and I look forward to the opportunity to do it. Diecast, when you listen to it, let me know what you think.
I won't listen to it. It'll be hanging on my wall. I already ordered the frame.
So that's cool. What else did you get? You got a stack of stuff a mile high.
Yeah, I got some more of my base pieces for the like the Toy World Zeta toys that I'm using for my reviews. So if you check out the record review, you'll see those base plates too. And I also got a sticker set for Exhaust to make him more like what he should have been before the lawsuits and everything started. Or the cease and desist, or whatever you want to say.
The cease and desist was against distribution, I think. I don't think Takara was ever going to make it exactly one for one the Marlboro Racing Deco.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, avoiding the legal issues that were obvious.
So... Yeah, I got that. So more stuff on the way too.
So I mentioned the record. I got XV's copy, or his box set, of the IDW Revolution. Yeah, it's Revolution, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brain's just died.
Kim was thrilled when you walked in the house with that.
She was. Oh, yeah. I was hoping that would happen at a different time, but you know.
I was hoping it would happen exactly the way it did.
Well, yeah, actually, she wasn't that. She wasn't that shocked or upset.
She was not very thrilled when I suggested an Infinity Gauntlet for your mantle, though.
Yeah, I'm going to keep wearing her down on that one, though. I appreciate your help with that. So yeah, Kim says no on that Hasbro Infinity Gauntlet, but
she didn't say no so much as give me the finger.
Yeah,
but maybe you can get one discounted at Toys R Us when they.
Oh, actually, maybe. Probably not. Probably not. Matt, did you get anything?
I did. Oh, I have to apologize, Brian. I'm sorry. I don't have any Power Rangers stuff this week.
Oh, well.
Oh.
FedEx sucks. Maybe next week.
Oh, you know, at the Hickory Toys R Us, I did for the first time ever see the Legacy Power Sword in person. And boy, is that a huge box.
I have yet to see that in person, but I don't need it all the same. So.
Right.
Okay, so... While we were out shopping at your Ollie's, I found a Mega Bloks kit. So I picked one up for an extra computer console and some minifig bodies.
And
I got Beast Man at Toys R Us, Mega Bloks Beast Man.
Hmm.
Sadly, they did not have Teela, so I went ahead and got one from Amazon.
Ah, how much did you overpay for that?
Look, what's important is that I have it.
Okay, I'm guessing at least three times retail.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So,
for what it's worth, I've been looking everywhere I stop to try to find some of those, and I was going to give you one if I found one.
Yeah, well, don't have to worry about it now. Thanks.
Well, it doesn't matter because I didn't find any.
Yeah. So, but what you did find me is a Titans Return Ramhorn.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Thank you. And when we went to Rebel Base, I picked up a couple Python Patrol Cobra officers.
For a very good price.
How much?
Yeah. $10 each.
That's not bad.
That's about what retail was when they were out, so.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago now, sadly. And since I missed my sister at Christmas, they weren't able to make it up. I also missed them this past weekend because I was playing with you guys, but she did drop off my Christmas presents.
This is awesome.
So I got a Hallmark Soundwave ornament to go along with everything else, and the awesome most thing. Important of all Christmas presents, a gnaw.
How many does that make?
I would have to count at this point.
He lost count. over 20.
I think that's at least over 31.
It's over 20. I guarantee it. It's, you know, getting. Hold on. Wait.
Well, he was beyond 25, like in time for Jolanta last year. I remember that.
Okay, now that Matt moved and I see his stuff, he told me that he displays his toys to where he can maximize visibility. I totally see that now.
Yeah. So if you count the Takara one, it's 32.
See, I was right with my guess.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, does futuristic Sharks or Robot actually count since it's not named Null?
Well, that's why I don't have him with the others. He's with the season three because he hangs out with Wheelie.
Wheelie? He really does that.
Oh, God, Don. He really does that. Anything else?
No, that is it for this week. Like I said, FedEx, you know, didn't deliver my stuff in a timely manner. So next week I'll have Power Rangers to talk about. I know you love that.
I have a lot of Power of the Prime stuff next week if FedEx comes through. So, Rob, do you get anything?
Nothing particularly exciting since I didn't have anything to do this weekend. I bought myself a copy of Samurai Warriors 4 too. And okay, I like the Dynasty Warriors games. I'll keep this short. Dynasty Warriors 8 has this really nice feature where if you hold down the L2 button, you can summon your horse and just jump on it as you go. It really makes things easier.
That sounds like fun.
Samurai Warriors 4 too, they had not quite perfected the horse button yet. So you summon the horse, and it just starts ping-ponging off of the walls around you, you know, bouncing back and forth, trying to pick you up. That was actually more fun than a fully functional horse for me, but, you know, that notwithstanding, it's a fun game, and I, you know, it did keep me occupied through the weekend, which is what I needed it to do.
Somebody needs to reskin that and mod it into a Briscoe County Junior game. I would play that.
Yeah, ping pong horse does sound better than a competent horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John, did you get anything?
I just got the latest batch of Legends, which is really good.
Yeah, that's what I'll be getting.
So was it G2 Megatron or Purple Megatron, Windblade, and the clones?
Yeah, my Windblade will be here in a couple of days. My second G2 Megatron will be here in a couple of days, too.
Your second?
Yeah, I know. It was by accident.
Okay. I thought you misinterpreted G2. Like, you're not obligated to buy, you know.
Twice. Gotta get two. That's what G2 stands for.
Yeah, gotta get two. Get two. Get two. I love it. Okay. Let's see here. So let's go ahead and the big item. So first and foremost, we talked a lot about
This Week in History.
Oh, I put that in there for a very specific reason. 1993, the Headmaster's episode, The Last Battle on Earth, Part 2, airs in Malaysia. And you notice we're talking about the Malaysian, the Star TV dubs. Hey, guess what? I have two episodes of what happened to the Headmasters in the can. I'm going to get two more recorded, then we'll start reposting the show, starting with episode 6. So my goal is to have that done by the end of summer. So I think that means I have to record like another 12 or 13 episodes, but we will get there. We will get there. Okay. The big news, we talked about this in great detail on RFC Extra 41, which was recorded right here live in the studio. But things are not good for Toys R Us. It was announced today that, it leaked today that there's going to be an announcement that all U.S. locations are going to close. And is that within the month? Did anybody read that?
I haven't had a chance to find it yet.
I've been out all day.
So apparently it leaked this afternoon that the CEO is going to announce that they are closing shop. The UK Toys R Us will close within 6 weeks. And I read something earlier today saying that they are going to try to keep 200 Toys R Us Canada stores open. But, you know,
200 Toys R Us stores in the US and the Canada stores, I believe, is what they were talking about. But who knows?
Who knows? We'll know better tomorrow, which, of course, it's a Thursday, which means that's when news hits because that's after we record.
Well, it's also because Thursday before our vacation this past weekend was when the first announcement, like the following Monday, there would be a court date to make a decision about the future. Then they postponed that on that Monday to the following Thursday, which is tomorrow. The theory there is that they did that because that legally qualifies as the 7 days notice they're required to give their creditors if they do it that way.
Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I know Don is really especially hit by this because he has a lot of nostalgia for Toys R Us. And, you know, I'll be honest, there's 64,000 people, roughly, that are employed by Toys R Us. And, you know, they're going to be out of a job, and that is definitely unfortunate. Fortunately, here, at least in the U.S., the economy is pretty good, and there are more jobs out there, than applicants when, at least when it comes to what I've seen. So it's a job seekers market right now, which is good. So hopefully when all this works out, the economy will still be strong and people will still be able to find work. And as I pointed out in pre-show, which it just occurred to me, if you're in a location where there's a Toys R Us, there's probably going to be other things out there that you could move to, because Toys R Us tends to be in markets where, you know, there's money and jobs. There's a lot, not like back where I live in my old hometown, there's not a lot of places to work. And of course, because it's tiny and there's not a Toys R Us. So, I mean, hoping, you know, there's that. But we talked to a great extent about what's wrong. As Chris pointed out, the debt that was put on Toys R Us is what caused the imminent death. And
you rolled your eyes at me multiple times when I tried to make that point.
Multiple times. And yeah. And like, I keep getting stuck on the fact that Toys R Us was not going to last anyway because of other circumstances. But Rob set me straight pre-show.
I did kind of tell him that if he ever wakes up in a bathtub full of ice with no kidneys, I would, you know, tell him reassuringly that he was going to die eventually anyway.
Which is true.
I like the analogy.
The inescapable logic of it suits me, so I appreciate that. But
also totally, when I steal Brian's kidneys, I'm totally gonna leave a note like that for him.
Yeah.
Can I still be a Toys R Us kid even if there is no Toys R Us?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, presumably Toys R Us in Asia will still be going, so you might have to go a little farther for it.
So I can still get my Toys R Us on Taobao.
Sure, let's go with
if
that.
If this keeps up, you may be able to buy the stores on Taobao.
Oh.
Yeah, but it'll be missing the roof.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be like Blockbuster, and they'll just somewhere in the country be this one holdout Toys R Us.
I'd like operating independently. Does have all four wheels.
Oh,
that's
good.
Amazing. I'm sure it's missing something else vital, though.
But no, he'll buy a Toys R Us on Taobao, and he'll get it, and the interior will be for KB Toys.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Toys R Us closing. It's sad, but we survived the closing of KB.
KB was not as important to the overall scope of toy collecting, I would say, but...
I missed KB because I was guaranteed a toy if I went into KB because the stuff was, they always had like clearance stuff.
Yeah, well, that's because nobody ever bought KB at full price.
I'll be honest with you. I have fonder memories shopping at KB than Toys R Us.
I mean, I got my first like brand new at retail Transformers from a KB Toys during G2. So, I mean, that has more of a connection for me than Toys R Us, but still, like, on the greater whole, I think Toys R Us is more significant. Sorry, Don, what?
I worked for K&K and KB Toys, so trust me, this is that all over again, because I have shopped. Toys R Us has quite a bit of my money.
There are a lot of retailers that have been closing their doors and closing stores in the last couple of years. Just expect this to keep happening.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I told the people at my store today, you know, it's just, I hope it, and I did it this morning when I stopped in on lunch. I said, you know, I really hope it doesn't happen, but I hope, you know, that you'll be able to find something. And they said, you know, as of this morning, no one knew anything. So I'm sure this is not what they wanted to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but, we'll know more next week on RSC 563 once the news actually breaks. Let's see here. So if you guys haven't looked in the show notes, I'm talking to the crew here. In the last few minutes, I've gone and pared some stuff down because I had some filler in there that I just took out. Wasn't important. So Transformers Studio Series Deluxe and Voyager figures making early appearances in Kansas and Washington, which Studio Series isn't... Is this at Walmart? Where is this?
Dylan's in Fred Meyer, I think.
Yep.
Those Kroger subsidiaries we were talking about in pre-show.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And they are both, because they're in, I assume, grocery-type stores, well over retail price for both.
Yeah.
Fred Meyer, I think, is a more general-purpose store, but yeah.
That's not related to Fred's, is it? That's that place where all that those cheap...
No, it's not related to Fred's.
Okay. That Dylan's one is the one that was really expensive. I think the Voyager was like $36 or something.
Yeah, but that's only $6 over SRP.
Yeah. It's expensive, but it's not.
It's expensive, but that's because the SRP is expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So they're just breaking street date on this?
As far as I can tell, yeah, because I think the street date for these is April the 20th.
I mean, these are not like huge chains, so it's probably, you know, not much skin off their nose if they have consequences from breaking a street date.
I hate to say it, but I wonder how many of these we're going to see breaking street date at the Toys R Us liquidation.
Well, that's exactly where I wanted to go. Didn't we hear that, hadn't somebody suggested or reported that that Thundercracker figure?
I suggested.
Yeah.
I suggested because I know it hit Canada, or I'm sorry, California, way different. But it hit California. So I'm thinking it's in or close to being into their distribution. I mean, everyone knows Toys R Us has warehouses that ship these out to the stores. So those warehouses are going to have to empty out too. Now, whether they do that by sending the remaining stock to the store or selling it off to someone else or someone else, like, you know, Ollie's, TJ Maxx, those sort of places.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that at Ollie's, Ross, and TJ Maxx.
We're going to see these somewhere eventually, and either at a cheaper price or just due to the liquidation, if that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I expect.
Yep.
And which will either be really good or will really suck, because usually it's feast or famine when it comes to stuff that shows up at Ross.
Yeah, it depends how much shows up, because if it only a little of it shows up, then scalpers usually eat them up.
Yeah.
But if there's tons, we'll be able to get some.
Yeah. Let's see here. So we have stock photos of Studio Series Lockdown and Jazz. I'm glad that we have a Jazz in this line. Just maybe not that Jazz, but I'm...
Yeah, I think this Jazz is also going to be kind of on the small side, like Stinger and Bumblebee.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like seeing a Jazz. So did they even, like, so Jazz was a Pontiac?
Yeah, Pontiac Solstice.
Yes. Solstice.
Holy crap, and they're still licensing that.
Yeah, why not?
Well, Pontiac is GM, isn't it?
Yeah, GM.
Yeah.
But Pontiac was G.
Pontiac part was of GM. Part of GM.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised that we're doing that.
I'm sure GM still owns the Pontiac name.
Oh, yeah, so. Of course they do. And of course they'll be glad to take money. It's just odd seeing it. Oh, God. And here's the Lockdown. Just that face.
The Lockdown looks pretty good.
I just don't like the movie face. I like the gun face.
I'm biased because I can't look at that Lockdown and says it looks good after seeing the Unique Toys Lockdown, the Peru Kill. I just can't.
But this is a $20 deluxe.
I know.
Compared to the Age of Extinction deluxe, this is like a 100% improvement in like every respect I can see, including the face sculpt. So
yeah, like I can't look at Last Stand of the Wreckers and, you know, say it looks good when I've read The Watchmen either. No, I mean, it's not how it works. I mean, you can like
how it works in my head.
I mean, just because you like that $100 figure or whatever it is, doesn't mean that the $25 deluxe is crap. I mean, but it is a movie toy, so I'm probably not going to buy it anyway.
Still doesn't look right to me. Still does not look like Movie Lockdown.
What I loved when you guys were visiting, you're like, Brian, where are your movie toys? And they're like the lowest possible place and completely out of eyeshot.
And there wasn't many of them.
Not many of them. I have more power. I have more power core combiners than I have movie toys.
As you should.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Let's see.
Actually, you need to maintain that. So, like, for every new movie toy you buy, you need to go buy two more power core combiner toys, even if they're duplicates.
I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. So this is a story that popped up last week. I guess right around showtime. Chris Ryall is leaving his job as chief creative officer at IDW. What, if anything, do you think this will have on Transformers?
It's really hard to say at this point.
Moreover, this just seems to be part of a pattern of shifting the personnel around in their higher up positions, which itself may be more indicative of larger patterns inside IDW. To what end, we can't really say yet.
Last we heard, IDW is doing well, though, right?
I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I haven't really heard too much about how they're doing as a company. I've been tracking the numbers on all the Transformers books just out of idle curiosity for a while now, and they are sadly on a definite downwards trend.
Yeah, they keep winning awards. They just don't sell issues. It's
weird. I mean, basically all of the Transformers books currently are selling well beneath what we heard was the reboot or end threshold for Till All Are One. So I don't know what to say about that.
Well, given the Unicron stuff coming up, presumably the wider reaching reboot is on its way anyway. So
I hope they I hope they don't take the Flashpoint perspective on that. I mean, I guess
was that the one where they tried to keep some of the old stuff but not all of the old stuff instead of just doing a straight like restart up across the board?
Yeah, and the thing is they did it without really any telegraphing of it. So basically people were reading a comic 1 month and then a miniseries that many people weren't even reading that you would assume it would have no consequences on anything else changed everything.
Because it was a Barry Allen book.
And because it's Barry Allen and not Wally West, if it was Wally West, I would have been fine with it. Because Wally West is the Flash. Barry Allen is a Flash.
Barry Allen is the best Flash.
No, he's not. Not even close.
I'm talking.
Barry is boring. Barry's like Hal Jordan, only more boring, which I don't think is possible.
Don nailed it.
There it is.
Don, you're right this time. Don nailed it. So, but yeah, so Chris Ryall leaving the role at IDW, so more to be determined. Now, this next thing is something that I don't think has been substantiated, but apparently Paramount has released information on the, I guess, it says it was specifically on the Blu-ray, which it seems way early for that. But this is a German Blu-ray site has received product information on the Bumblebee movie. I'm not going to go into it. I mean, they're technical details. I mean, it's a region A, B, or C disc, and it's in German and English, and it's in Dolby True HD. But there are a few plot points and such, nothing major, that may or may not be true. So we really won't know. But,
sounds good to me.
Yeah. It doesn't sound fake. So it's probably true. But it just, again, seems odd to me that so far out you would have the plot explained in such a way for something that we're not going to get.
Yeah,
for
but if the
a year,
if this was originally planned to be released in June, then originally a home video release would have been maybe September. So this would still be a little bit early for that, but not as bad as, you know, basically a full year early, because we probably won't have home video until at least March of next year with the December release.
Very valid.
And the other thing I like to point out is that we can actually pre-order Blu-rays while the movie is in theaters now, because I pre-ordered Black Panther on Blu-ray and it's still in the movie theater.
Yeah, I don't know if I genuinely don't know if that's just Amazon putting information up because they know it will be released and they know roughly how much it'll cost, or if Disney is actually feeding them the information.
Well, no, Spaceballs is just becoming more and more true all the time. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to point out in terms of when this will be released, if this listing is accurate, it will the Bumblebee movie will be out on DVD and Blu-ray April of next year.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Cool. Okay. So, hey, guess what? Thank you, Amazon. Last week,
for a bidet, apparently.
Last week we talked about the bidet that I ordered, and so
are you going to say who got it?
Yeah, the package was misdelivered to my neighbor, and my neighbor was expecting a package from Amazon, so he opened it, and I came home. The package was on my porch. It had been re-taped, and he yelled across the way. He was like, "Hey, I accidentally opened your package. I was waiting for something, and I looked at it, and I said to my wife, this isn't it.
This has got to be for Brian.
This is not mine." So, of course, I told him, well, if any package of mine was going to be opened, it would be the one that had the bidet in it. But, you know what? You can get anything from Amazon, and the bidet is pretty awesome. So you can have the bidet that Brian has, tfradio.net/bidet. That's BIDET. You should do it.
Happy bidet in Wilkes.
Oh, I've got to do a happy day in Wilkes about that.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing after the show.
Thanks, Chris.
I don't know if it amounted to anything, Brian. I hope so. But yesterday, Amazon had a very brief sale on both Destiny 2 and Gundam Versus for the PS4. So I put out
sweet. Thank you.
Affiliate links on a couple of my Twitters for that.
Awesome. Sweet. Thanks. Sure. I haven't checked. I used to check every day. I've learned that that's just not a good thing. It's like checking your weight every day. You shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, tfradio.net/bidet. You can buy anything. I have mayonnaise on the way. Sriracha flavored mayonnaise that I have on a subscription.
Yeah, I heard Wave 2 Deluxes actually showed up at retail price on Amazon this morning, too.
And I missed it.
For a little while.
Well, and by the time I saw them, they were $35 each.
Yeah, so like on Hasbro Toy Shop yesterday morning, apparently at about 4:30 a.m. Central, Hunger and Alita 1 went in stock. And by about 7 o'clock, they were out of stock and have now since been completely removed from the website.
Mm-hmm. I just want y'all to know that sometime between probably May and July, I am going to run out of discretionary funding for the year to do Transformers stuff. So go to your stores then, because that is when all of this crap is going to just magically appear on shelves by the stack.
And you know what's sad? And what's sad is that no matter how vigilant we are checking the websites. See, that's kind of why I went ahead and bought it when I had that eBay coupon code. I know I paid a little bit above retail, but I'm tired of this distribution. I'm tired of camping out on websites or checking when I go into work at 3:30 in the morning on the off chance. Yeah, I've gotten lucky at Hasbro Toy Shop and magically stuff has been up at 3:30 in the morning. But unless you're buying something from a Japanese-based reseller, why should you have to get up at 3:30 in the morning to find a toy that you want?
Yeah, I had a similar experience with Toys R Us's website at one or two points where, like, if I had not been looking at it at random at, like, 6:30 in the morning, I would have missed out on something I wanted to get.
So
yeah, I mean, like, there's no organization. There's no notification. I can understand not telling you all the time when everything's coming out because it's crashing the servers and stuff, but some notification coming soon so you can bookmark the page or something. This is just ridiculous to buy a plastic toy.
So Don, when he was here, he had an eBay coupon that was going to expire at midnight. And he was just so stressed out as to what he was going to do with it.
Well, he was trying really hard.
I understand that. I was having the same problem because I saw that coupon happening. You know, it's like, yeah, like 20% off any purchase of $25 or more from noon to midnight on that specific day. And I could not think of or find a damn thing that I wanted or needed that I would have spent money on otherwise that I could justify using that coupon on. So rather than just rack my brains, I decided to just let it go because
that's what I did. I mean,
he did.
I had just bought and paid for the Wave 2 stuff. And none of my third party stuff is out yet. All the third party stuff I kind of want is all like maybe kind of, but I mean it wasn't something I would buy unless I saw a really good deal on it. And it, like, one thing I was looking at was Chigurh. I like Chigurh. I like that version of Astro Train. I like the Evil Star version better. And I haven't touched my Evil Star in a couple of months, so it's like, do I need another Astro Train? Even though it does look pretty. Not really with the pre-orders I've got coming up. So it's like it's like my dad said. That's one of the advice my dad gave me. It's not a bargain if you can't use it.
So the thing mm-hmm. that as soon as Don got to my house that struck me is that Don, for almost the entire time, only talked about and thought about toys. He, of course, we're all together. You know, that's pretty normal. But it occurs to me that Don is such a serious fan and collector that nearly all of his mental energy goes towards toys. And I'm impressed, and I have to say that we talked about like what percentage of time or what percentage of our mental energy goes towards like the collector's part. And I'm like at 5%. And it seems like Don's like at 80%. Don, you are a true hero. literally the entire time he talked about buying toys. The entire weekend. Oh.
Not really. You know,
yes, really.
Recently, I've had some things happen to me that have made that not as important to me. Oh, wow. But when I'm with these guys, it's kind of like I go back to the way I used to be when that was, because I love the hunt. I love the thrill. I love the search. It's like when I was at Rebel Base, I was trying to find something unique to take back with me because I wanted something rare or something I couldn't find. There was nothing there that I wanted at the prices that they were asking for. I mean, some of the stuff was reasonable, but it wasn't what I wanted to give for item X, you know? And it's just, it's also, you know, when I'm with other people, I don't, you know, when I'm with my friend Fred, we talk about other stuff. It's just when I'm with those guys, that's the mentality that I'm in. The collector.
Yeah, because we won't let you talk about Kim Possible or Code Lyoko.
Yes. hey, Rob.
True story.
Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, first up, Bacon Jack has our review of the Transformers soundtrack LP, which I'm presuming he got our review copy, so... he seems to have liked it, seems to have thought it had a pretty decent sound. You know, he didn't mention the original, the theme song, but he seems to have listened to the whole thing and be fairly positive about it overall. So that's a good thing. Also, Jay from TNI has a review of Volcanicus on their YouTube channel. We've got Ken Christensen's original line art for the Combiner Hunters box set plus Titans Return Skull Smasher. I still love that box set. That is probably my favorite of the handful of SDCC exclusives I have. It's fun. Also, this one is Rob Springer gave us the heads up on this one. The Metals Diecast metal figs of Optimus Prime and Bumblebee are due out in April, and we've got some new photos of those. And let's see, IDW has put out a required reading guide to prepare you for Unicron number 0, which...
That's the free comic book day issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, May 5th.
I can't wait for that.
I'm curious to see where they go with it.
Yeah.
I haven't actually looked at the required reading guide, and it does not want to load, but probably the best thing we posted this week is last Friday before he took off to meet up with you guys. Chris posted an in-depth look at Code of Hero as it was the 20th anniversary of the airing of the episode.
So
it was the 20th anniversary of the episode per the date on the Transformers wiki, which was March 9th, a Monday in 1998. As I point out in the article, I remember seeing this episode for the first time on a Saturday, so that I think the specific premiere date is going to vary from market to market.
For you, it was the greatest episode of Transformers ever. For me, it was a Monday.
Or a Saturday, as the case may be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the one they showed right before they went into Agenda, correct?
Yeah.
Oh no, there's Transmutate in between.
Yeah.
So that would have been a Monday, Transmutate Tuesday, then, because I remember on Cartoon Network Agenda Part 3 ended on that Friday.
Yeah, Transmutate was, but yeah, that set the tone for Transmutate. That makes sense. Yeah. God, Transmutate's a great episode too, sort of.
Weird, but yeah.
So other than Matt, who doesn't get a vote, Code of Heroes, best Transformers episode of all time, right?
I mean, it's certainly up there.
It's top five,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? RFC Extra number 41. On this RFC Extra, myself, Diecast, Melvar, XV, Chris Triplett, and Brian are all in studio at Brian's house and discussing our last group visit to Toys R Us and what went wrong. RPGA Lessons Learned, Episode 45, Martin's Game, Castles and Crucibles. I'm sorry, Castles and Crusades.
Castles and Crucibles.
I'm very tired, I'm sorry. It's okay. This week on RPGA Lessons Learned, Dusty shares his experiences in our friend's game. Somehow we tie in Skyrim, Orson Scott Card, Diversity of Thought, and the Monkey's Paw. How was your weekend concert going? On this episode of How Was Your Weekend, Wendy and Brian talk about concerts. They discuss some of their favorites, some of their least favorites, and some concert regrets. Rest in peace, Tom Petty.
Yes, yes. Hey, Diecast, what did you put up on RFC Reviews this week?
I put up the Transformers vinyl record.
Was it a review?
It was a review. It was almost like an unboxing. I mean,
it was a photo review.
Called unboxing.
Yeah.
It was a video photo review.
Yeah, you know, if you take high definition enough photos of the grooves in the record,
he's right.
Someone probably could play those back digitally.
Yep.
In mono, at least.
I mean, if I played the record, I mean, would you really be able to hear it the way it was intended anyway?
But you could comment on how it sounds.
You played a little bit for me. It sounded...
yeah. Now an earth-shattering mono.
Oh, one channel to rule them all.
Anything else? Didn't you put something else up?
No, I was somewhere all weekend.
Oh, no.
Got anything on tap for this week?
I actually want to do the Alien Attack Prime.
Okay.
That's like one of my number one priorities.
I remember why I thought you had posted something else, because Don spent all weekend talking about Bobby Skullface's videos.
Oh, yes.
I did not. I mentioned it in passing.
25 times.
And then you watched it in our living room at the suite on Saturday night.
Well, I had free Wi-Fi that didn't suck. So, yeah, I was getting
it. It was decent Wi-Fi for the grade of hotel.
He also talked about MGO.
That was a really nice hotel for the grade of hotel that we were at.
Adults only, for some reason.
Yeah, we never really put together why.
Because there's like, beside a strip club?
We never saw that either.
I was more concerned going to the Waffle House than I was anything else, but I never went.
I'm just praying for the day when Don says, there. Hey, Diecast has a review of this up.
Hey, so what did you guys think about Metro Diner?
It was good.
Awesome. Awesome. If you have one in your area, you need to go back. I'm going to go back.
Most likely I don't.
Sadness.
I like the Barcelona too, but I don't think Chris was very thrilled by.
No,
I might have been if I would have been able to, you know, taste any of their food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris was Jack in the Boxed.
No, Jack in the Box back, actually gave me my food.
Yeah, yes, I eventually got my food at Jack in the Box. Chris never did get his food at Barcelona.
I still haven't.
Were you able to get your money back, by the way?
Oh, they gave him his money back.
Yeah.
I still haven't tried a shake from there yet.
It was world changing, Brian.
That place would be burned to the ground.
You know, it's kind of weird. I don't think Jack in the Box realized they hadn't given us our food yet. So I walked up there and I just kind of stood there, like that picture that you posted with me, you know, in the studio, just kind of just standing there.
Well, I mean, you had that look on your face, like I'm Headmaster Don. Perhaps you've heard of me.
So,
and I'm hungry.
So the thing that I like best about the Barcelona burger is that it's owned by a guy named Michael Bay. True story. Let's see here. So don't forget, you can find this episode show notes at tfradio.net/562, tfradio.net/562. You can leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT, 931-994-6268. We are on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, and on Instagram at TF Podcast. Rob Springer, who is not here, is at zonebase.org. And at Robo Rob Springer. Hey, and I got a new phone today, so I'll be taking lots of photos that I'll be posting to our Instagram. So I'm pretty
happy. Take a photo of your phone, or are you going to take photos with your phone?
Photos with my phone. It takes really nice photos.
Well, you could take photos of your phone too. You have to use a different camera.
Well, I still have my old phone, so I can do that.
Right?
Yeah. So I kept that. I kept the phone. So there you go.
I've got all my old phones.
Yeah, I still have my. My oldest phone that I still have is my Galaxy Nexus.
Did you want me to mention the new reissues?
Tell me what I'm forgetting.
Okay, this is news from Taobao that Diecast interpreted. It looks like Takara Tomy is reissuing Masterpiece Wheeljack, Masterpiece Smokescreen, and Masterpiece Blue Streak. So not the blue streak. It looks like they're straight reissues.
I don't have to buy them then.
Yeah, I don't see anything different. But if you missed out on these, because I believe these are MP20, MP19, and MP18. So they're a couple MPs ago. If you missed these, you should look out. A lot of the retailers will probably have these pre-orders up this week.
Cool.
My oldest phone.
Which one is that?
An old Motorola flip phone.
Cool.
I still have my Motorola V1 Razor.
That's what you're using right now.
No, I have.
That's how he gets his internet.
That is how he gets his internet. Okay.
That it would explain a few things.
I am on Twitter at bkilby and on the Instagrams at Brian Kilby. Chris is on Twitter at ChrisRTXV and on Flickr at flickr.com/ChrisRTXV. Are you anywhere else?
No.
Matt is on Twitter at Melvar. That's 3 L's, 2 R's, MELLLVARR.
Hashtag Seacons before Unicron.
Amen.
Spread the word.
Don?
I can be reached at Bobby's Casino. I can be reached at HMRC. I can
reach Evangelist.
Just not at Diecast.
Just
not at Diecast, too.
Hey, I don't want to look like I'm playing favorites. I want to give everybody that puts a lot of work into their stuff equal credit.
He can be found at Optibus. Wow,
that's certainly a backhanded comment toward Diecast, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard that too.
He can be found at PR.
I can be found at HMRC, the number 4 EVR on Twitter.
Diecast.
I can be found at Diecast too, and just for Don, I can be found on YouTube at RFC Reviews or tfradio.net/reviews.
Yes. Perfect.
Just so Brian doesn't have an aneurysm.
Well, it takes you right to it.
And
yeah, we have to save causing Brian an aneurysm for the next get together.
Yeah.
Yeah, tfradio.net/reviews doesn't do anything for the site. It just uses capacity. Just takes you right to your channel. It's easy to remember.
Besides, we have to get back together. Matt has more Transformers to transform on camera. And
so
on
many more trips will be required to fix Kilby's collection.
I think I need a bigger house before we do anything like that again.
And then you can also follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast and probably a bunch of other places that I'm forgetting.
He can be found at the Waffle House on Thursday. Waffle House. No.
Yes.
Rob.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flail Throughs. Also on YouTube at Flail Throughs. We're currently still playing through Mobile Suit Gundam Side Stories.
That's one of the side stories.
Yeah, the game is huge. There's like a whole set of VR missions I haven't started yet. We're on the Zionic Front chapters now, which have no resemblance to the original game, I've been told. Like, it shares some characters, but the setup, none of the rest of it actually has much bearing on the original game at all. So I it's one of the places that apparently Side Stories was the biggest disappointment to fans of some of the Gundam games from the PS2 on forward.
Interesting.
Yeah. But also, of course, when Chris and I do video reviews for T-Formers, you can find them on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Excellent. And John?
That John D. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
And Rob Springer can, of course, be found at Rob Springer on Twitter or zonebase.org.
And I already said that.
I wasn't listening.
Still true.
Yes.
I wasn't talking, so by definition, I was not listening to what was going on.
We'll be back next week. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons.